We often hear the cliche, you must learn to love yourself. But what does that really mean? In today's episode, I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean and how to love yourself using the higher branch method and why that is so important to your success in all eight areas of life. I'm Sam McCool and welcome to A Higher Branch. One of my pet hates in life is to hear cliches in books or motivational memes that absolutely have no practical tips or no prescriptions behind it as to how you do it. And this is one of my favorite hates, and that is, oh, you must learn to love yourself. Love yourself. What does that really mean? And unfortunately, it has become to mean something that is not good for your personal growth, not loving to yourself. So I'm going to kick off today's episode by reading a couple of excerpts from my first book, A Higher Branch. So if you are new to this podcast, first of all, welcome. We are getting hundreds of new listeners every week. And if you haven't already done so, please hit the subscribe button. And if at the end of the episode you love the content, please leave us a review so it boosts our rankings and we can reach more and more people. Okay, so in my first book, A Higher Branch, it's a fable about a little boy who gets lost in the woods. And there he meets a mysteriously familiar old man who guides him back home by introducing him to his eight areas of life. And one of those areas of life is the tree of love. So the metaphor is that when you were born, God or your creator or the universe, whatever your belief is, planted eight trees in your garden of happiness. Now, the area of love, or in the book, the tree of love, represents the fundamental human need to have intimacy, both emotional and physical, in our lives by having a partner that we love. Now, I'm going to read you the opening excerpt from the tree of love chapter. That's chapter 4. And a section from the end of that chapter. In both these sections, young Tom reflecting on the lessons he learned from the old man that he meets in the woods. So I'm going to read to you his thoughts at the beginning and his thoughts at the end after he learns the lessons. And then I'm going to share with you those lessons and how we apply them in our daily lives. Okay, he goes, I was too young to know much about love, because young Tom was only 8 at the time. At least that's what I thought. But the old man had a way of relating that helped me understand what it meant to love another with all your heart and mind. The lessons he taught me had a profound impact on my relationships, which without a doubt became one of the most rewarding aspects of my life. He taught me that to love another deeply, I must first love myself. He taught me about the braided branch on the tree of love. Now, I'm going to come back to you about the braided branch and explain the analogy from the book. But I'm now going to read you the excerpt at the end of the chapter. There are some who feel that they do not need love and intimacy in their life. Now, that may be okay for a time, but I have learned that expressing love awakens a power and energy so strong that it lifts your level of performance in all areas of life to that of extraordinary. It connects the power of your mind with that of your heart and unleashes a source of immense creativity and imagination. Many a brilliant song or artwork or literature or some architectural feat has been created by someone in love. It is a tragedy to let such a source of great power be left to chance or even worse, wasted. Okay, now I'm going to come back to the analogy of the braided branch. So the old man in the book introduces Tom to each one of his trees of life. And for each one, the branches on the tree represent something, or is it a metaphor for something. In this case, it was a braided branch. And the old man asked Tom to look up at the tree and ask, what do you notice? And he noticed this branch that was made up of two little branches that were intertwined. And as young Tom says, they were as perfectly braided as my sister's hair on a Sunday morning. And young Tom finds it amazing. He said, how can a branch be made up of two smaller ones? It looks beautiful. How is that possible? And the old man answered, each little branch represents love. One branch is the love you have for yourself, and the other is the love that you have for your sweetheart, I said in the book, but I mean partner, for your partner. They both support and nourish each other beautifully. They both bear fruit like no other. But know this, the old man cautioned young Tom, if one branch dies, the other one dies as well. That is both the splendor and the tragedy of this braided branch. So what the old man is telling young Tom is, for you to love another, you really need to love yourself first. Now, I was a divorce lawyer for a few years, and a common theme that I found amongst people who are getting divorced wasn't the other person's faults, but it was really their own internal faults and how they were living their life that wasn't loving to them. And we tend to reflect out what is within. So we reflect that out as the other person being the sole reason for that separation, when in fact we have stopped loving ourselves in the way that we should. Now, nobody ever teaches what this cliche means, right? In school, our parents were too busy working to sit us down and have a lecture on what it means to love yourself. I mean, maybe some people do. Maybe some parents do. I don't know. There are some incredible parents out there that are excellent guides and teachers and coaches for their children, because that's how you should see yourself as a parent. And I think that's a tragedy that we're never taught how to really love ourselves in daily action, like as part of your prescribed living. Because if people really learned to love themselves and woke up every day and took action to love themselves, then I can tell you that we would have a lot more stable relationships out there, a lot less divorce. So I'm going to do my bit today and teach you the higher branch method for loving yourself. I remember at a young age when I was teaching these principles to my daughter Amelia, I think she was around six, and she said, how do I love myself? And I taught her about the eight trees of life. In fact, we had these eight conifers, miniature conifers in our yard, and there was eight of them. And she used to walk and point to each one, recounting the tree of health, the tree of love, the tree of family, the tree of work, the tree of friendship, the tree of learning, the tree of wealth, and the tree of charity. And she asked me the question, how do I love myself in the tree of love? And I said, by living a complete life in all of these eight trees and not neglecting any. That's the overarching principle in the higher branch method. You need to live a complete life and not neglect any of those areas. What does it mean at a high level? It means you must have goals and dreams in each of the eight areas, and not just the tree of love. So you must continue to live your life completely whilst you're in love if you do meet someone. Because the biggest mistake most people make in a relationship when they meet someone that they're just head over heels with and that's an exciting part, they start to get purpose and meaning from just that one area, and they neglect all the other areas of their life. They neglect their family, their friends. They stop exercising, eating well. And it is a natural tendency for us to completely obsess and be absorbed by the person that we meet and fall in love with. But the tragedy is, if you stop loving yourself, as the old man teaches Tom, then that part of the braided branch will die off. And then eventually the second branch that is intertwined with it will die off as well. And that's what often happens in relationships. So if you are in a loving relationship and you want to nurture that relationship, you must spend time nurturing yourself. You need to give yourself a break from your partner. You need to chase your own dreams. You need to spend time alone in reflection. You need to spend time with your family. You need to cultivate your own friendships. You need to look and feel your best. You need to learn something you are passionate about. You need to pursue your own ambitions. You need to create your own wealth, and you need to give yourself to charity. When it comes to charity, I promise you, your partner will love you even more for it. When you live holistically in the eight areas, you will become an interesting person to talk to and be with. And consequently, your love will grow stronger, because your partner inevitably will start to live and mimic the same way that you live, which is loving to yourself. So look, I'm going to teach you the higher branch method. But before I do so, I want to make this point that at a high level, that's how you love yourself, by living holistically in the eight areas. Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper into that and just touch on an activity that I do in my workshops. Now, I can never go to that depth in a 20-minute podcast, but I'm going to leave you with enough direction so you can complete the activity. But first, I want to explain to you what loving yourself is not. And it's an important distinction, because I hear so many people these days say accepting yourself is about accepting the status quo. It gives people the rite of passage to continue living with their own faults and not growing, not challenging themselves. But loving yourself does not mean embracing faults and bad habits and giving yourself an excuse to be stuck in the status quo. Now, it doesn't also mean dumping on yourself. So this is a fine line that people, you know, have to tread when it comes to how they choose to make progress. You can make progress and improve yourself out of fear or out of love. And the difference is extremely subtle. Yes, you can use fear to motivate action, but when you do take action, that action needs to be motivated by love. We all have areas of our life that we need to improve, or we may be neglecting parts of our life we need to improve. It could be the tree of friendship or your wealth or your work performance, or you neglect the tree of learning. So loving yourself does not mean continue to neglect those areas. It doesn't mean to say, oh, well, that's just who I am. I'm lazy. That's just who I am. I like to eat junk food. That's just who I am. I like to sit and binge on TV. That's just who I am. That's not loving yourself, okay? Continuing to live with those bad habits and faults is not loving to you. Now, there is this spirit inside of you that loves you so much. Now, whether you're religious or not, we all have this soul or this spirit. It cannot be denied. And if you want to know what that spirit is, it is not your thoughts when you're living in distraction mode, but it's that essence of yourself that catches your thoughts. So if you catch yourself feeling anxious or depressed or thinking negatively or with negative self-talk, that is your essence. And that's why meditation is so important, because that's how you get in touch with your inner spirit. When you're in distraction mode throughout the day, you don't really notice the subtle messages that spirit is telling you, hey, I'm not happy with this. And that's why the first step under the higher branch method is to write down a list. You need to do two lists, but the first list is you need to write down what you are doing that is not loving to you, what you are neglecting. And you must do it in a way that where you don't dump on yourself. Whatever you've done in the past, bring it all with you to this present moment when you're performing this activity. Good or bad, bring it all with you. That's who you are. That's what brought you to this moment, right here, right now. And I want you to say, I love who I am at this present moment, but I also love the potential of what I can become. So I'm doing this out of love for my future self, not by being unhappy with my current circumstances. I hope that makes sense. Now, I explain that a little bit more in workshops, but as I said, this is a short and sweet episode that will get you thinking. Now, the second list is you need to write down the things that you can do in the eight areas of life that is loving to yourself. And I always start off with the tree of health. So your health is the biggest tree, the biggest part of you in the middle. It's, I mean, when I depict the eight areas of life, I don't mean they are all separate. There's a symbiotic relationship between all of them. But the one area that supports the seven other areas is your health. And your health is represented by four energies: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So let's start off with the physical. What do you need to do different? How about resting when you're tired? How about spending alone time in solitude, writing in your journal or meditating or having a warm bath or reading by sitting in your favorite chair in one of your favorite rooms or going for a walk or exercising after work before you eat the evening meal? Because your inner spirit tells you, hey, I'm not relaxed enough yet to digest this food. How about having the self-awareness after you eat your food to say, hey, did this food agree with me or not? Should I avoid it in the future? Or having the self-awareness to say, I'm going to stop eating now, I'm overeating. Or switching off all the technology an hour before you go to bed and doing some breathing exercises so you can have a good night's sleep that is filled with deep sleep and REM sleep so it replenishes you. See, all these things are loving to yourself. Now, I've just covered physical for, say, emotional or your cognitive performance. What can you do there that is loving to yourself? Maybe you start catching yourself with negative self-talk every time you feel like you failed at something or you feel like you've been rejected by someone or hurt in any way. Is it loving to yourself to write in a journal at the end of the day and process those feelings before you go to bed? I think it is. Now, when it comes to your spiritual health, your inner essence, as I mentioned, now, if you are religious, maybe praying at night is something that's loving to yourself. Now, if you are not religious, you can still pray. Just don't let the word pray have just religious connotations. Having that conversation with your inner essence at night where you put out into this world what you really want for yourself, for the people in your life and for humanity in general, that's a prayer. I mean, sacred is a prayer that asks for nothing for yourself, but one that just has a feeling of goodwill and good wishes to everyone in your life. Now, I want to give you a few other examples in the other areas of life. Let's look at your family dynamic. What can you do that's loving to yourself? Maybe it's turning off the TV or putting away your technology and having a meal together without distraction. Maybe that's loving to yourself and loving to your family. Maybe it's spending time one-on-one with each family member, building a bond. That's loving to yourself. What about your friendships? What can you do that's loving to yourself? Maybe it's reaching out to friends and have a regular time for you to catch up with them, either go walks together, go to the movies together, go to the gym together, go have a picnic together, or going over to each other's places and cooking together. That's loving to yourself by nurturing close friendships. And the other thing that's loving to yourself is by not having toxic relationships in your life, toxic friends. So loving yourself is surrounding yourself with people that want the best for you. That's loving yourself. Now let's look at the tree of learning. Loving yourself is also keeping yourself up to date with knowledge that will help you in the eight areas of life. Now, I don't mean the news. That's not loving to yourself. I don't mean political debate. That's not loving to yourself. That just frustrates you because you have no control of it. The difference between positive stress and negative stress is negative stress is something you have no control over, right? So what about learning about nutrition, exercise, being a loving parent, reading books on AI or reading books on wealth management? Now, I'm cycling through the eight areas because that's the areas you should be learning about. That's what I meant when I said there's a symbiotic relationship between these eight areas. It's also loving to yourself by working in a place that fosters and nurtures a great culture, a culture based on mutual respect and empathy and humility. Loving yourself is also continuously challenging yourself at work and working from the heart and working for love, not just for money. When it comes to the tree of wealth, loving yourself is saving your money and investing your money wisely. I did a podcast episode on the best way to spend your money, which is loving to yourself. Loving yourself when it comes to wealth is not entering into too much debt where you become a slave to working too many long hours where you don't get to enjoy your life, where you enslave yourself to debt and you don't have time to live holistically in the eight areas. So I hope that's given you just a few ideas on what you need to write down under each of the eight areas that will become more loving to yourself. And I promise you, when you start to live in this way, then if you are in a relationship, your relationship's going to start to improve. It's just like magic, my friends. It's just because the energy you put out will come back to you and your partner will start to respond in kind. If you are single, then just like magic, you will start to attract the right people in your life. Okay, thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope I've shared something that will add value to your life. I'm always sharing stuff with you that I personally live by using my own frameworks. And if you know someone that could benefit from listening to this episode, please share it with them because I really believe that when we put good things out into the world, good things come back to us. That's always been my personal experience. And one of the reasons why I produce this podcast, the other reason is I have the utmost of respect for your time and love for your potential. And on that note, always remember that every morning is the dawn of a new day and your chance to start afresh. Until next time, hope you have a great day and live consciously, my friends.